Tech men stood lounging on some of the plush maroon banquettes along the walls. Boss Larry was sprawled in his chair, illuminated by a stray beam of dusty sunlight. His legs were apart, trousers open, and pulled over his fleshy thighs. Two members of the posse, one male and one female, knelt on the carpet in front of him, doing everything they could to try to rouse some life in the Baron. Larry Zapp's eyes were squeezed shut, his mouth hanging open. He looked incredibly stoned, old and tired. And watching over all, master of the revels, lord of misrule, was the antic jester himself, Traven. He rocked backward and forward on the heels of his maroon boots, the shark's heads gleaming pale on the toes. He was dressed almost identically to their first meeting, patched jeans and the ruffled white shirt, over all the black leather jacket with the fringes and the pattern of sewn shards of mirror. He still wore the fingerless black gloves, and in his right hand he was holding the chromed 9mm Beretta 95. The diminutive figure was standing with his back to Ryan, but that didn't stop him being aware of the one-eyed man's presence.
Just who I wanted to see. Come in. Come in.
I'm in already. What do you want? Hi, Doc.
Doc had been standing, ramrod stiff, away to the right, his dark figure blending into the draperies. He waved a hand to Ryan.
Greetings, my dear fellow. Is all well?
No problems, Doc. Just come to collect you.
Jolly good. Then I'll be on my way, Mr. Traven. Like to say it's been delightful meeting you. Like to say that, but couldn't, as I fear that it would be a massive falsehood.
Boss Larry was blinking in their direction.
Who the fuck up? Oh, you that son of a bitch, Ryan Carter. Yeah, you are. I can't talk to you right now. I'm busy. I'm real busy.
From what Ryan could see, it was the young boy and girl who were real busy with the Baron. Still to scant effect. Traven stood poised on his toes like a dancer, head on one side. His face was in shadow, his mouth hidden by his mustache. But Ryan could swear that the man was smiling at him.
Don't go yet, Doc. Not yet.
This was it. Ryan had seen moments like this before, in other places, with other evil people like Adam Traven. Doc looked at him, bushy eyebrows raised in an unspoken question.
Traven holds some high cards, Doc, so he gets to open the bidding.
Correct. But first we play questions. Where is Dean? And where is Sky?
Won't say, and don't know.
Traven suddenly stood totally still, his silence drawing every eye. Except for Boss Larry, lost in his own struggling world. Even the two deaf-mutes sensed something and turned around.
Time's wasting, Ryan Carter. I'll offer you a deal.
Go on.
You all go free to where you want.
And?
And I won't pursue you, or the boy. If Sky wants to leave with you, then that is her affair.
What about Doc?
Oh yes, including Doc. All go free. It's such a wonderful feeling to set someone free, Ryan. To tell them to go and run about in a summer meadow with the sun on their backs.
How much?
Did I mention a price?
Traven's hands spread wide, his shoulders shrugging.
Time's wasted.
You come dark snaking with us.
When?
This night.
Where?
Wrinkly Heaven, the retirement complex.
Why?
Want you to come?
I don't like cold murder.
It's a good time, isn't it, Mirror?
A tall girl sitting up on the floor watching Boss Larry smiled silently up at her leader.
No.
Then Doc stays here. You all get chilled. And I'll find your son if I have to look under every wet green boulder in Deathlands.
How about him?
Ryan pointed to Boss Larry, who had fallen asleep. The boy and girl had moved away, leaving him exposed.
What happens to him will happen regardless of whether you live or die, Ryan. I'm bored with him, and his days are nearly done. But you are more of a challenge, more of a man.
All right, Traven. I'll come out tonight with you and your posse. Just me, or JB as well?
Traven wagged a finger.
Stupid, I'm not. You can be handled, but not a pair of you. No, no, just you.
Ryan stood and thought about it. He and the others had firepower, but Traven had Doc. To try to escape from the revolving room by elevator was about the same as kissing the barrel of a 10-gauge.
You got a deal.
No firearms, Ryan. It'd make me nervous. Me and the posse might have a blast or two, but not you. Understand?
Ryan nodded.
Oh yeah, Traven. I understand.
Before leaving the tower, Ryan clasped hands with Doc Tanner. The old man, his face screwed up with worry, whispered to him.
I do believe the little bastard intends to try to murder you.
I believe he does, Doc. If that happens, you do what you think best.
I will. The best of luck, dear fellow.
As Ryan moved toward the elevator, one of the deaf-mute servants materialized from a lake of shadows and touched him on the arm, beckoning. Glancing around to see that Traven had collected his brood about him on the far side of the room, Ryan followed the shaven-headed figure. As he drew closer to the lolling gargantua in the padded chair, Ryan became aware of a strange scent. It wafted around Larry Zapp, enveloping him, like the miasma from a freshly opened coffin. It was the unmistakable stench of death. The Baron's heart still beat, his lungs still labored to provide breath, but he was rotting away. A plump, ringed finger waved toward Ryan.
Closer. Closer.
What?
I go back a ways. A long fucking ways, you and me, Ryan. Larry and Ryan. Oh, a long ways back.
Get on with it.
I can't help it, Ryan.
Sure.
Doc, take a dream, girls and boys.
The huge head trembled from side to side, and tears coursed over the vast furrows of his cheeks.
And Kelly? Poor Kelly?
Ryan leaned closer.
What about him?
Who?
He nearly slapped the Baron across the face.
Kelly, what's wrong with him?
Couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. Traven asks and Traven gets. That's the new rules. Kelly tried to...
The Baron stopped as the slight mincing figure of Adam Traven danced into view.
You're not gone yet, Ryan.
No, going now.
I heard you guys talking about Kelly. You and your friends can come see it. Noon, Paraglide Paradise. A high riser, Kelly.
Ryan turned and walked toward the elevators, followed by the doomed whisper of Boss Larry Zapp.
Couldn't help it, Ryan. Sorry.
Back in the motel room, there was little discussion.
But don't you think that Traven is planning to kill you, Ryan?
Sure he is. Then he'll take out the rest of you. There's no doubt.
Why not attack and rescue Doc, then make a jump down to New Mexico and join Jack and his wife? Is it very difficult?
Ryan was sitting on the edge of the bed, tapping his toes on the floor.
Difficult? Traven's got most of the sec men on his side, well-armed and trained. And he's holding Doc up on top of the tower.
Thought Kelly might be planning something.
Sounds like he got caught with his dick in the door. We have to go to Paraglide Paradise at noon.
Why?
Find out when we get there. But it isn't going to be good.
How is going with Traven and his gang going to be a better chance?
Ryan shrugged.
Who knows? Get outside and you can do some damage with people who aren't trained in night combat. Close combat with blades. I don't know, Mildred. And that's the damn truth.
Ten minutes before noon, they heard the now familiar sound of combat boots in the corridor and a fist rapping on the door of the room. Mildred and JB had retired to their own suite for an hour or so, but now they were all back together. Ryan had also tried the radio again, picking up nothing but a confused mumble of hissing and crackling. For a half second, he thought he heard a voice, but so far away and faint that it was worse than useless to them. The knock on the door was Rainbow again.
Showtime.
Right.
Could you leave your blasters here?
Yeah, sure.
They're asking now? What's up with that?
Who knows, Millie?
The paths of the Ville were busier than they'd ever seen them. Some of the SEC men seemed particularly edgy, with holsters open and hands playing with the butts of their Colts. Rainbow strutted alongside Ryan, thumbs hooked into a wide snakeskin belt.
Gonna see the reward for loyal service.
Ryan ignored her,